We know where the children were born and where you and Connie lived when they were born. Will you talk just a little bit about raising the children? For instance, where did they go to school?
Well, what's that school down there on Hobart Street?
Colfax
School. And I guess they went to Taylor Alderdice, except that they went to early years to Taylor Alderdice, and then Eugene went to Shadyside, and I'll brief this later. He went to Williams and Harvard Law School. Joanne went to one of those girls' schools. Was that Thurston? Not Thurston. Was it
Winchester?
Winchester. And then she went to Wheaton. Joanne. That's Joanne Obernauer. And Martha went to, I guess she went to that Winchester too, and then to Wellesley.
Was it Mrs. Strasburger that did most of the discipline?
Yes. And I was very poor because I remember I used to have to call for them after Sunday school at the temple or whatever they were doing down there. They had to, when they were about to be confirmed, they had an afternoon session, and she said, be sure and call for the girls at the temple. First thing I know, I get home and I forgot them. Without telling her, I turned around and went back.
Mr. Strasburger, I think we could talk a little bit about Westmoreland now. Jane and Eugene mentioned that you belonged to it when it was first founded.
I would belong to it as a junior member, and at Logan's Ferry. And later, I belonged as a regular member out at Verona. And I was on the board of Westmoreland for many years, so many that they, in my older years, elected me an honorary member. I don't pay dues.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Just like the rabbi, huh?
Yeah.
Did you and Connie, Mrs. Strasburger, spend a lot of time there?
Yes, we played golf. I played tennis. I played more tennis than golf.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fair golf player. I mean, a fair tennis player, and probably the worst golf player at the club.
And your social life, you and Mrs. Strasburger?
Yeah, we belonged to several crowds, different times. We played bridge, went to the theaters, opera. We used to have good grand opera here at the Nixon. The other night I heard The Tales of Hoffman, and I think I heard Caruso in it.
You were listening to the record?
No, I was watching it on television.
It
was the best thing I ever saw on television. Beautiful. And I'm not a television addict.
Just football.
Baseball, football, mm-hmm. And once in a while, a special performance on 13.
Mm-hmm.
I also listened to Leonardo da Vinci's Life, and it's still on. I like it.
Did you and Mrs. Strasburger use Concordia Club? Did you belong there as a young man?
We belonged to Concordia Club later.
Later. Mm-hmm. Westmoreland first and then Concordia.
Correct.
And did you go on family vacations, all five of you?
Yes, we used to rent when they were young, we rented a house on Lake Erie, northeast, They had a nice little house there right on the water. And then we went to Eaglesmere, which is a lake. You know, there's a lake on top of the mountain near Williamsport. And we had a cottage there. And we liked it so much we were going to buy it. And I signed an agreement, went over to the county seat. I'll bet neither of you know the county seat of Sullivan County, LaPorte. And I examined the title, and I came home, it was all right. And the man wrote me a letter. He'd love it if we would give up the bargain. He wanted to keep his house. He didn't want to sell it. We were glad to do it. We didn't want to be tied down to one place.
And were there any other hobbies besides golf and tennis? Cards, I know.
Cards?
Yeah.
I've been a card player for years.
Are you a collector of...
I collected stamps in a way, not as assiduously as my son.
What kind of cards did you play then?
I played poker, and then later bridge. I played poker at the club, and we had a crowd that went away once a year. We went down to, what's the name of that place in Ohio, that good place? I forget the name. We used to go down there and spend about 3 days playing poker. In atonement for that, why we took our wives out for a big dinner afterwards.
You told me Martha is your youngest child.
Yeah.
Now, you told me that Martha was born one door from Shady Avenue on Beacon.
Right.
So you must have moved to the big house on Beacon after you had all three children, is
that
right?
Oh, yes. We didn't move there till 1931 or two.
So, it's really three homes on Beacon Street and one on Darlington Road.
No, you got it wrong. Yes, three, you're right. Three on Beacon Street and one on Darlington Road. You're right.
Okay, and historians would want to know.
It wasn't Darlington Road, it was the next street.
Bartlett.
Yeah.
Okay. Historians will want to know, just quickly, what you would say about those four homes, the neighborhoods. How would you contrast the neighborhood then as it is now?
They're about the same.
That's really a phenomenon.
Yes.
It hasn't changed.
They haven't deteriorated much. The one I live in now, just for two blocks, is the best in the district. But there have been some nice people live on our neighbors all around. At all the locations.
When did you first become interested in Jewish life? When did you really feel that that was going to be one of your main thrusts?
I attended services, particularly the Sunday morning services, from the very beginning after I was out of law school. Particularly as in those days we had some very distinguished rabbis come and talk. Of course, I was a good friend of Dr. Levy's, and that's the beginning. Dr. J. Leonard Levy was rabbi when I came back from college, and he had an organization called the Seekers. Ever hear of that?
No.
Seekers for Truth, I guess. And we used to meet at his house, or we had dinners, we had lectures. And the first president of the Seekers was DeWitt Haber, and I was the second. I was a great admirer of Dr. Levy.
Would you say that the Seekers were the forerunner, maybe, of the Junior Congregation?
No question about it. You're right.
And that he, it was his technique of interesting young men in the temple.
Correct. That's correct. I remember once we had, when I was president, I got Henry Hornbostel to talk to us about the ancient architecture of Yucatan. I remember I got Dr. John Brashear to talk about astronomy. And we had very interesting things like that. I suppose maybe the next thing I did along those lines was the presidency of the Jewish Big Brother Club.
Oh, I wanted to hear about that. I didn't know Big Brother was a Jewish...
Was in.
Yeah. What is the Big Brother Club?
We took care of boys who needed a little moral strength. Sometimes they were in trouble, sometimes they weren't. Maybe they were poor.
Were they Jewish boys?
Yeah, Jewish boys. Mm-hmm. And I didn't take all the boys. I assigned them around. But I can remember one boy that I took who was wanted to be a prize fighter, and he was pretty bad in school, pretty poor, I should say, and he was bad too. I think I straightened him out. He's become a terrific manager now, owner of a big chain of stores called Weston's all over the country. Had me at one of his openings recently.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And,
Now, this, it's called the Big Brother Club.
Jewish Big Brother Club.
Jewish
Big Brother.
Brother Club.
Did it start in Pittsburgh?
Jewish Big Brother Club started in Pittsburgh. It was entirely local. It had nothing, no national significance.
Did it start with the Seekers?
No, it had nothing to do with the Seekers. It had nothing to do with the Seekers. A lot of the community helped us with the money, the expenses we had, whatever they were, much.
Mm-hmm.
And we visited the penitentiaries and we got the boys out and we sponsored them and said we'd take care of them and that sort of thing in the criminal court, and they did a pretty good job.
How many men were
they
involved?
Took it over after the community took it over afterwards, the federation. They never did very much with it. I don't know whether you want that or not.
Sure.
I think it required individual attention. They don't get it at the Federation.
The United Jewish Federation took it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when we quit.
Mm-hmm.
I think after that, perhaps the next thing I could mention was that in 1926, they asked me if I would serve on the board of the temple. I've been on for 48 years, and I told them, I want you to know that I'm a poker player. He said, that wouldn't make any difference. Judge Cohn was a poker player, too. He was president then. And I never went to one of the meetings after I was on, and while Judge Cohn was living, that I didn't take him home in my car. I always had a car. And I always had a drink with him at his apartment on Maryland Avenue. Well, I'm going to interrupt this by telling you a little story.
Good.
It's true. You know, Judge Cohn was a man who always wanted to use the Hebrew word, be the mocker. One day he called me over to Chambers. He was a judge then. And he said, Eugene, I want you to know you're going to get a big case from Kansas City. A lawyer in Kansas City with whom I'm very friendly asked for a recommendation. I gave you a very high recommendation. I said, Judge, you were taken in. What do you mean? I said, was it Leon Block? He said, yeah, well, how do you know? I said, because I'm courting his daughter. Oh, he says, I'm so disappointed. What do you mean you're disappointed? I had somebody picked out for you. Well, when we were married, and my wife and we had them out to dinner a number of times, Judge and Carrie Cohn, my wife kept hounding him all the time. Who did you have picked out for Jean? I won't tell you, my dear. I won't tell you. Finally, she was suspicious who it was, and she said, I think I know who it was, and she's dead now. Will you take it? Will you tell me now? He said, who do you think it was? She said, Ruth Levy. He said, you're right. Ruth Levy was Dr. Levy's daughter.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. So you went on the temple board in 1926.
Yeah.
And your interest, you were married in 1915 and you went on the board about 9 years after.
That's correct.
11 years after.
Well, I was one of the founders of the American Jewish Committee local chapter.
That's much more recent.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
We had Rabbi Lazarus and Dr. Clinchy, and the Catholic priest whose name I've forgotten, here when we started. Those were the three founders. No, I'm getting that mixed with.
I know what you're getting mixed with.
Conference of Jews and Christians.
Yeah.
I can't strike out. I made a mistake. That was the Conference of Christians and Jews.
You do help found that here.
The local chapter. There.
And then you, where else?
You're on the National Board of United American Hebrew Congregations.
I'm on the board and have been on the board for many years. I can't tell you when I went on the board of the Union of American Hebrew Congregations. I'm now an honorary life trustee.
Is there anything having to do with Pittsburgh that you would want us to know about the UAHC?
That was when I went on that board. Dr. Freehoff was already here, Marcus Rau used to collect the money for the union here in Pittsburgh. It was all done with a handful of people. They'd give $1,000 a piece. And Dr. Freehoff said, there's a good young fellow. Mr. Rouse too old. He'll do it. And I did raised all the money alone for a good many years for the union. I'd give a luncheon and invite 20 men, and I'd make them each give $1,000. And we were one of the best contributors to our congregation. Now it's gotten more democratic.
Let's talk about your presidency with Brother Shalom.
Well, something else I was going to say. Just a minute. Okay. Just have to come. Many of the big convention dinners, one celebrating the 300th anniversary of the landing of the Jews in New Amsterdam, and that was held at the Commodore Hotel in New York, and then I presided at two of the large dinners in Cincinnati, where we used to meet for the built the House of Living Judaism in New York.
Very interesting.
And those dinners were a matter of a couple thousand people, you know.
They just had a big one here now.
That was the junior club. That was the men's club.
Awesome.
I also presided at the last time the men's club met in Pittsburgh, the National. I presided at their banquet.
By virtue of your being a vice president of...
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
No.
Milton Harris was the chairman of arrangements, and he asked me would I preside at the banquet, and I did.
You're a very famous toastmaster.
No.
Well, shall we talk about your presidency, or
please?
Am I rushing you?
No, go ahead.
Well, during your presidency, Rabbi Friedhoff was...
Dr. Goldenson was first.
Dr. Goldenson at first.
And then when we got to, when Dr. Goldenson one day came to my office and said I was president, then he said he had an offer from Temple Emanuel. I said, what would you do? I said, do you think you could do more good down there than here? It's a bigger community. Well, he thought he could. So I said, well, go to it. We'll have to get somebody else. He never liked it there. It was too cold. And he said so publicly at his 50th birthday anniversary, which we celebrated here, and I was again the Toastmaster. That was when I was president. This thing slipped my mind again. Oh, I know how we elected. I know what I was going to say. Came to a question of electing a new president, and I was a new rabbi.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember. When did Friedhoff come here? He came here in about 36.
Yes.
Yeah. I was on the committee that selected the rabbi. And the chairman of the committee was Elio Weil Sr. And Mr. Weil had us out to his apartment in East Liberty to make the final decision. And what he did was, he served us, he was quite a drinker. And what he did was he served us jiggers of whiskey that high, and the chaser was a highball. So in one of Dr. Friedhoff's dinners that we gave him, I said, the only way you were elected was if Mr. Weil got us drunk.
Marvelous.
He said in reply, I thought I was your, let's get his words. I thought I was your, I forget it now, but they said I didn't think I was influenced by the liquor or something like that. I'll think of it maybe later.
Well, he followed, immediately follow Gold?
Yes, he followed Gold's. Probably the... We had at that time, the congregation grew in my administration to 2,200 families. And we decided, and the union thought that we were too big. We should form some congregations around the city. So the first one we formed, which was formed in my living room, was Temple Sinai. And I got them a loan from the congregation and a loan from the from the union. By the way, that's considered a mitzvah to one congregation helping one that's just starting. In fact, we were helped by Cincinnati way back in the early days when we were formed.
Where did the loans come from?
One from congregation, our congregation, one from the union. I was already on the union board.
Very interesting.
Those loans were paid off.
I don't know why I thought Leon Falk had so much to do with that.
We loaned them three trustees. Leon Falk was one of them. And he,
I see.
But the Temple Sinai was formed in my living room. The next one we formed was Temple Emmanuel in the South Hills. And I got them two loans, the same as the other one. They paid that off. The next one that was formed was Monroeville, and I got them two loans, and each one of those was paid off.
That's just... These are things that we never would have known. That I never knew that.
The loans came from...
Brother Sholem and from the Union of American Hebrew Congregations.
Temple Emmanuel also started off with one of our rabbis.
Rabbi Silver. That's correct. Now we also had Rothschild here as an assistant, you know, who went to Atlanta. And we had Babe Glazer, who went to Detroit. Probably the most disturbing thing that I had during my administration. By the way, I was president from... Before I was president, I was really handling temple affairs because Mr. Aaron was sick. That was Marcus Aaron's father, Lester's father. But, so that was in 1941 I became president of 49. And after I was president... I wanted to resign after 5 years, and they sent a committee to me, and I stayed two more years. And then Leo Ruslander was first vice president. And in order to, he was getting old, and in order to give him a chance to be president, and I think he only remained as president about 2 years, I resigned. And they insisted that I become vice president. So at one of these dinners that we had, Lou Broido was the principal speaker, and he made quite a fuss over the fact that he never knew of a president resigning and becoming vice president. But I did. And I remained vice president until, I guess that was until Lester Aaron became president, and I quit that. I started to say that the most disturbing thing I had was on one of the holidays, bricks and rocks came through our picture windows. Actually, I don't know whether you remember that or not.
Do you remember what year that was?
No.
Around Hitler?
I know I rushed up to the pulpit. Whoever was speaking, I don't remember. And everybody was very orderly. One woman was really hurt. She was hit by a rock. And the ushers rushed out. They never did find out. We offered a big reward in the public press. Never did ascertain who did it.
I did want to talk a little bit about something we haven't touched on. And I think that we're going to wrap up very soon for today, Mary.
Yes.
The thing that we haven't touched on at all is any of your brushes with anti-Semitism. I mean, now, in the early 50s or in the 40s, you talk about bricks and rocks. But what about at Harvard? Or what about at Pittsburgh Central High School? Let's talk a little bit about anti-Semitism.
I don't believe I remember any up at high school. They used to call us Sheenie when I was at the grade school. But I don't remember any at high school, but I can tell you this at Harvard. When I was there, it was a very snooty institution in the college, not in the law school. In the college, they had these societies. Society of 1776 in the Society of this and that, I forget the name. And they had no Jews at all. No Jews at all. They boasted about the fact that they had no fraternities, but they had these eating clubs, and same as Princeton did. And they were very snooty. They never took in a Jew. So I went to college with the boys, not all Jewish by any means, who weren't in these clubs. Law school wasn't that way at all. Law school, you went on your merit.
What about in Pittsburgh, Mr. Strasburg?
In fact, they had clubs in the law school, and Jews got in them because I was in the Western Guard Law Club. And by the way, it might interest you to know that Professor Westengard was sent, I believe, by Theodore Roosevelt to Siam to advise the government of Siam in public relations, foreign relations, and he was killed by an asp. We formed this. No, I didn't form it. I came into the club afterwards. By the way, I heard Theodore Roosevelt talk at the Harvard Union, and I heard Theodore Roosevelt talk off the balcony of the old courthouse. But there was no anti-Semitism in the law school.
In Pittsburgh.
It was all work.
At high school in Pittsburgh, did you have any brush with anti-Semitism?
No.
No? You don't remember any as a child. How about as a young lawyer in practice?
I don't remember any because in those days the Bar Association was a closed institution and I had no trouble getting in. When I applied, I was admitted. Today everybody is supposed to go in. It's for everybody, and it's right. But I had no trouble at any time. The only trouble, I'll tell you a little story. I had a case against Roddy Marshall. You may know the name. He was a distinguished lawyer in Pittsburgh. It was a damage suit. The boy ran between two cars from the curb out, and he was hit by my client, who wasn't insured. They weren't insured so much in those days. This was in the early days. Roddy Marshall was on the other side. And he represented a boy named Goldstein, Jewish. And I represented a Gentile named Gearing. And I offered to pay. We thought it was contributory negligence, and it wasn't my client's fault, but we offered to pay. Dr. Buchanan was a surgeon. We offered to pay his bill and the hospital, which ran in those days, I think, only something like $800. And no, he wouldn't take it. He's going to get a big verdict. The verdict was $800. And he said, now you know, when you represent a Jew, you can't win. Roddy Marshall said. He represented the Goldsteins, and I represented the Gearings.
I wonder I don't get that, but...
The jury won't decide in favor of a Jew.
Oh, I see.